The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 454. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vail.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
And Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
All right, Brian is MIA. We have no idea what's going on with him. And Chris is tired. He needs to initiate the Odin sleep.
And I only give props to Brian for even showing up once. Because it's like, what, 4 or 5 in the morning where he's at? And he has to get up to go to work, so he just stays up. That's hard.
Yeah, respect. And the funny thing is, you know, shout out, you know, with all respect to Brian, he shows up and he barely says anything.
So, well, he's probably playing something.
Yeah, he probably is, you know. Stay away. Yeah.
Well.
You already know.
I think we might. You know who it is. I think we might have coincided with daylight savings time.
Oh, is that happening over there? Daylight savings time. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I see October 29th. So maybe. Oh no, that's still a month from now. Never mind.
Yeah, we just started October.
We just started October. Yo, man, you adding years? Yo, man, I'm adding months and years.
Yeah, I looked up. I was like, October. What the fuck? How that happened? You know, the march of time, man. Inevitable, you know. Anyway, let's get into it, man. Throw down your questions, baby. And big shock here, out of the 11 questions we got, 7 of them are about Jim Ryan.
Of course they're about Jimbo,
you know. So let's get into it, man. Hopefully things won't be as contentious as they were on Thursday.
Guys, can you legitimately find a picture of Jim Ryan Young? Go out there, find it.
That'd be funny.
I'm not going to bet you that you won't find it, but it's probably the most difficult thing you could ever find. You could find a Phil Spencer, but you can't. It's really difficult to find young photos of Jim Ryan. Like maybe 10 years ago, maybe because, you know, like 2000s and stuff like that.
I still maintain that because remember, he's been working for Sony for 30 years, right? I maintain that he probably looked exactly the same 30 years ago. I wouldn't be surprised. I think he's one of those dudes, like Steve Martin, you know? Motherfucker just looks old. But we'll see. We'll see what the chat comes up with, you know?
There's got to be like a skinny Jim Ryan. Yeah,
Manny, Logic One says, are you claiming that Jimbo is an android?
I don't think he's an android, but he could just be perpetually old, like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, that's what I think. Logic wins. See, we had the same idea. I really think if you look at him, see a picture from 1994, motherfuckers look exactly the same. You know?
Didn't he start at a low position too? He worked his way up.
Yeah, he worked his way up. Yeah, yeah.
He was in the mail room and shit. Like,
no, I don't think it was that much.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but he worked his way up. You know. All right. So yeah, Jim Ryan questions tonight. And Adam, you missed it because you weren't here on Thursday. Oh, by the way, shout out to you in the FC review, you know, on the coalition.
Oh yeah.
Things got, hot on the podcast with the comments, man. It's crazy.
I don't know either.
I'm like, I didn't expect it to bring that much heat, you know, but it is what it is, man. And we do apologize for some of the name calling that happened on this show. You guys know we love you, man. You know, guys, we love you. It's just shit get crazy around here sometimes, you know. Let's get into it,
man. What are they upset about?
I didn't know Jim Ryan was your mama.
Yeah.
Guess he is.
Yeah, Manny, chill out, man.
I've got fun around.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Adam, basically the long and short of it is nobody was mad over what we said about Jim Ryan. They just didn't like what we were saying about PlayStation. So, yeah. Anyway, let's get into it. Villa Kai. And by the way, I structured these so all the Jim Ryan questions are right up front and stuff. All right,
sounds good.
Villa. So I'm going to be jumping around between people. All right. Villa Kyle. And this is a question we actually asked during the show on Thursday. What successes and failures would you attribute to Jim Ryan in the leadership of Sony Interactive Entertainment? And how do you rate his tenure as CEO? Personally, I'm happy to see the end of his uninspired downward spiraling regime. Damn, tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get roasted for my feelings on Jim Ryan tonight, so good to know. Yeah,
don't worry, we have the counter view question.
Yeah, we have a counter one. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure we got both. I didn't know. I was like, everybody's going to be like, shut the fuck up, you Jim Ryan hating motherfucker.
Yeah.
Here, you know, the one thing
let's make something clear, though. There's not, most of the fans don't like Jim Ryan or are happy that he's gone. So, like, when one fan has a counterpoint as part of the cast, let's not pretend like everyone is that opinion. It's just one person.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Nope. So fans are a monolith. You can't go back on it now.
So, and throw it as a monolith, apparently, too, you know?
So, you know, I would say, like, the one thing, like, I'd say for most of Jim Ryan's tenure, it was just a lot of very unpopular, you know, decisions that he had to essentially backpedal on. And I think that's kind of a lot of what his tenure is. But the thing about it is based on the strength of the brand of PlayStation in general, he could have done anything and it still would have not, he could have done a lot more and it probably wouldn't have affected a lot of the perception of what the brand is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, here's a hot take from Logic Wins. Worst PlayStation generation ever. The first generation where I didn't buy a PlayStation, and probably the last unless Sony shifts its course.
I would say, to be honest, as far as this generation is probably the most mediocre generation of PlayStation, but apparently mediocre is fine.
Yeah, it's interesting with this generation because, like, I agree with that sentiment. I've been complaining about this generation of PlayStation the entire time. That's why a good segment of PlayStation fans on Twitter hate me, you know, because I've been very vocal about it. But at the same time, so you got that mediocrity, right? You know, the lack of first-party exclusive games that are only for PlayStation 5, right? We had a lot of cross-gen games this generation. So we have that, yet this is also one of PlayStation's most financially successful generations ever. Which is interesting, despite all the shit that's been happening in the world, but it's still the most successful. So you have that weird dichotomy. It's like you have potentially the lowest when it comes to actual games that we're getting, and then you got high sales. It's a weird thing.
That's not despite you lock people in their houses for a damn near year. You're going to sell some video games.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that also not to mention that, you know, a lot of games have been, the prices of games have gone up. The console has gone up. You know, it's higher than the last one, right? What was it, 500 right now?
Yeah, 500. Yeah, right. The console is more expensive.
It stays at 500. The console is more expensive.
The first party games
are more expensive. The PlayStation Plus is more expensive. And people are just kind of accepting it.
Yeah.
You know, hey, inflation.
Well, I didn't know that was going to come up. Because there was a report that showed that people buying less games since the price has gone up. They're just not buying as many as they were.
Well, I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what would happen if you're going to, you know, sell games at a higher cost.
But at the same time, does the raise prices even things out? Because revenue wise, they're doing very well, you know?
Maybe it is evening things out. Maybe it's just like, all right, so there's more expensive games, so people are, you know, less people are buying them, but I don't know, is $10 difference that much of a difference?
I don't know. And then, you got to take this into account too, right? You know, when a game is on PS4 and PS5, the PS5, the more expensive one, will sell more than the PS4, even though PS4 has more consoles out there. And this has started ever since the beginning. Like Miles Morales, remember, think about this, when Miles Morales came out, right? The DLC, I know it's fucking standalone, but I call it a DLC. there were only like 2 million or so PlayStation 5s, right? It still sold better on PS5 than it did on PS4, even though there were like 100 million PS4s.
Well, I mean, that is their own sneaky marketing on that one. Yeah, they didn't want you to they didn't want you to think that it was a cheaper version or a PlayStation 4 version. But it's out there if you want to look.
Yeah.
But the focus is
same thing
is,
with Horizon Forbidden West, right? People exactly. even ask, like, wait, that's on PS4? Sony wouldn't have really told you that, you know?
No, they just left it out. Not they just directly. Put it out there. Like, if you, you know, most people aren't looking at the bottoms of the thing. They're just looking at, oh, hey, look, it's out. And it's on the PlayStation 5. It's advertised on the PlayStation 5
thing. Advertisement tells you, again, I always tell the story. Man, remember we were to GameStop one time, mm-hmm. and this one guy, you know, we were on the line or whatever, and he was like, oh, man, I wish Call of Duty was on PlayStation. It was like, dude, it's right there. It's on PlayStation. It's been on PlayStation this entire time. But since he saw the ads with the Xbox, he just went, oh, it's an Xbox game.
It's definitely the power of ad, you know, ad revenue. And then that's also goes into Mr. Ryan on the whole Call of Duty thing. Because it wasn't only just the plain fact of, you know, having it on PlayStation. It's the fact that Sony had it on lock on all of the advertising for the console. So in other words, the general audience thinks, oh, hey, it's only on PlayStation now.
Yeah.
Even though it's on both.
Yeah. But anyway, going back to Jim Ryan. So what are his successes and failures?
It's very difficult to think about any of the successes the guy has had. But again, success, it could just be the whole thing in general.
Yeah.
That, in other words, PlayStation didn't go crashing and burning into the ground.
I was just about to say, I think his big success is kept things going.
He kept
despite his own bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I was like, he didn't negatively affect the brand to where people just decided to throw their PlayStations out the window. But, you know, I would say also, you know, one of the things that are maybe attributed to Mr. Ryan is the, you know, the fact that PlayStation games are now coming out to PC. But I mean, granted, that was already an initiative that was started, you know, on the previous guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is one thing that I know a lot of PlayStation fans are pretty butthurt about there being PlayStation games in general on a PC.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that this week. Yeah.
A lot of anger over that, which I don't fully understand, but, you know, is what it is. I think that's what his greatest success was this generation, not fucking up so badly that it literally killed their upward momentum. They continue to keep on the line and doubled what they did. So officially that would make the guy a success.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, and obviously you have all of his. I wouldn't call them failures, but I would just say they were unpopular.
Yes.
Unpopular things, like, you know, again, you know, closing down the PlayStation 3 store without a plan to essentially continue to support those games in the future. In other words, you're telling me you're throwing what was it? How long ago was PlayStation 2 now? I mean, PlayStation 3 now? 15 years?
No,
20 years now?
Oh, yeah, 2006. That's right. Yeah, so it's been a while.
So
it's been 17, a while.
17.
Yeah. If it was at 15, you said?
16, it's going to be 16.
16. Oh, so I was close. So I'm on the stage and the price is right. Pam. Anyway, so you have, like, in other words, there's no solution as to, like, you're literally throwing 16 years worth of games into the garbage pail because you want to close down the store without actually also going in and investing in the future of whatever that is. To be honest, like, if you had all, like, how awesome would it be? And you see it on Xbox right now. You can literally get, well, granted, their legacy games are also specific titles, you know, the popular ones. So you don't want Barbie Horse Adventure, you know, to work on your, you know, modern consoles, or maybe except, you know, a couple people.
Yeah, that one weirdo,
you know, like,
out there.
Without any sort of solution as to what those games will, you know, you're leaving money on the floor in that situation. So that was not a good plan. Attempting to close down the PlayStation Portable store, which, you know, but also trying to also attempt to close down the PlayStation Vita store, and also making a lot of it very difficult to get your hands on. You can't officially, you can't put money onto your PlayStation 3 or Vita account without actually first doing it, you know, without doing it through, you know, other means. You can't actually go directly to it. You have to have money in there. You can't go there. You can't essentially use the store to put money in there for yourself. What was it? You had to use cards and stuff like that in order to get all that stuff. They obviously made it very difficult to be able to do it. There's that. There is, what was the other stuff?
Well, here, Logic Win says, here's as far as wins goes, he got Nixus on board. They do great PC ports. And also getting PC games on, placing games on PC, that's a win.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a win.
And
yeah.
Didn't he also get Insomniac during his tenure? That's
no, I thought that was before that. It was definitely very close to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like right on the tail of Spider-Man. But I feel like that was previous, the previous guys. But you guys could.
Yeah, you guys could verify that. But Nixus definitely did happen during his tenure, mm-hmm. You know? So yeah. That's a win
right there. Well, I mean, he most definitely saw that, again, like, and I said this, the reason why they were starting to do PC ports in the last time, he literally gives their games an extra shot in the arm when they've run their course in the galaxy of PlayStation.
Yeah, right? Which is something these guys don't seem to understand, the haters, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Devalues PlayStation.
I mean, the thing about it is, like, are you still, one question I like to ask
you're
everybody.
You're going
to
go spend $3,000 on a PC
are you still-
then?
Are you are you going to spend $3,000 PC? And the other thing is, like, are you continuing to buy versions of Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah, exactly.
Once you've run, in other words, it's like, yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, at that point, once it's already run its course and all the FOMO is all over 3 or 4 years later, are you still going to, you know, you've already sort of moved on to the next thing, so... Why not, you know, put it out on a PC and get a little bit of extra shot in the arm? And to be honest, like, I would say this, like, as far as preservation, it's actually kind of good that it's on the PC, because at least you have it out there and somebody can figure out how to get it to work on something else if it's using the same architecture to run it, right? You know, maybe won't have some of these situations where they're like, oh, no, we use this antiquated system. We can't get it to work. We got to go do emulation. So there you go. What was it? I mean, I guess you would consider it success for picking up what's-her-face's company after Google shit the bed.
Oh, Jade Raymond's company?
Yeah, Jade Raymond Studio, right? That would be considered success, but granted, I would say...
The games haven't come out, so we'll see about that.
The games haven't come out, so we haven't seen anything from that come to fruition. Remember the one that he said about old games? This is going back to
Before he was the...
Yeah, that was like when he was like getting in office. He was like, "Why would anybody?"
That was still before that. That was still like years before that.
Oh, still before? Okay.
Yeah, that was like 3 or 4 years before that. You know.
Oh, okay.
But he still made that comment regardless.
He did make that comment, but we can't consider that part of this.
No, it's not. All right. Anybody else? Jim Ryan's successes and failures.
His main failure was getting caught just saying all that horrible shit about Activision. Like, they're saying, oh, we don't care about that. We just don't want you to do it.
Oh, like, yeah, the pettiness.
The pettiness. Man, it's one thing to say, listen, we just think it's not good business. All that. All right, fine. But when you say, no, I just don't want you to do it. And just the way they were strong-arming Activision, hearing about all the shit behind the scenes, like, oh, threats and stuff, how they wanted payments. It was very weird and shady. I get it. That happens everywhere, but it's caught. You know, that shit was released, and that didn't give a good look. And I'm sure that played a big part of other companies trying to deal with it. Like, oh, well, we know how you think, and are you going to strong arm us too and say that if we want to be on other platforms, you're going to jack up our price or hide and bury our game and shit? Yeah.
I don't know if that's the worst thing he did, but
that's not the worst.
No. But I mean, in most recent, I think that plays a big part. It's like, does he want to deal with all that shit again? Nah, fuck it. He's rich. He can walk away into the sunset.
Carlos would say amen.
The whole thing with the studios, because he did create or acquire a whole bunch of small studios. Jade Raymond's being one of the most notable ones. But for those, we have no clue today how those are going to work out. We might know, and I would consider it positive, even though I mean, we'll still see, because they technically haven't released a brand new game under this under the Sony, but Bungie, ooh, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, is a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I mean, if Phil Spencer were to retire tomorrow, the Activision deal is a positive towards his resume.
Yeah.
So I'll give Jimbo a positive for Bungie, because Bungie's is pretty big, and it does something they were seriously lacking. You know, their whole games as a service, multiplayer, games that get people to keep coming back in, microtransactions, all that stuff. That's the type of thing that Sony was lacking, that they acquired, and they acquired one of the best. But you know, also as a downside, you know, you guys mentioned all of the rhetoric that Jim mentioned that was out of touch with the fan base. There's a reason why a lot of PlayStation fanboys were celebrating when he was gone. It's just he didn't connect with anybody. He didn't connect with the fan base. He always said stuff that was kind of odd, and then he wrote back on like the whole thing. Nobody cares about the legacy and the old games and all that stuff. And also toe dipping on a streaming service just as a straight reaction from Game Pass. And also the output from first party games. I understand that, you know, Sony has a type of game, the third person narrative action title, which we all love. You know, we're all fans of Uncharted and God of War and stuff like that. But there was a considerable lull in this generation, this last generation, and it's probably some of the lowest output from Sony in terms of just volume of games. Still got quality, but you know, it was few and far between, and it wasn't just a Sony thing, but it's still a Sony problem, even though it's a problem with everyone else. And,
yeah,
it was a generation where, you know, Jim Ryan led, and I can't remember. It's like, what, God of War was the best? God of War Ragnarok's the best thing that came out.
Oh, as far as games go, that's a hard one. Yeah. You know, didn't they acquire, and I'm forgetting the name of the studio now, the Returnal studio. Didn't they acquire that under his tenure?
House Marquee, yeah.
Yeah, House Marquee, that's a big one. And then Counterpoint, Japan studio closed under his tenure.
Oh, yeah, that's
a big, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And yeah. To counter that, Blue Excuse Point.
Me? Excuse me? Blue Point, that's a big one, you know?
That's huge.
Yeah. Before we move on to the next question, Brett, you got anything you want to chime in here with?
I think I've said everything before that I had to say about him, like as a part, like he's just an executive, and that shouldn't be. I know, like here's the deal: everything I have to say about him, people are going to come back and be like, "Well, it's an executive; that's his job." But like, I kind of argue that that's not really the case. Like, I understand chasing money and profits and all that good stuff is, at the end of the day, your job, and no matter where you are in a corporate structure. But I also believe that there are other people who have varying degrees of ulterior motives that, you know, maybe they just kind of love to do it. Like, at the end of the day, most people try and get into this industry because at one point they did enjoy it as a hobbyist. And whether or not that's a mistake, that's where they start from. Jim Ryan just always seemed like a guy that was poured into a corporate suit, yes man, like, fire face, make nothing burger. Like, I don't think I really see a lot there that's substantial. As Manny said before, like, what is there to really criticize? And I kind of feel like that's the worst thing that you can say, but it's also the truth here. Like, they're like, if anything, I'd be like, man, like, he came, he swung for the fences. That dude, like, he tried and he failed. And that, I can't say that here. I mean, he didn't even fucking try and come out with a fucking Kinect or something like that. I'm not saying that would have been better, but man, it wouldn't have been worse than, what, nothing?
Go ahead. Actually, Carlos, you go, and then I want to read something Ace Ali said.
When did Jim Ryan's reign start? Do you guys remember?
Wasn't it 2019?
Because
let's double check that.
Insomniac was 2019.
Yeah.
I wouldn't probably not credit him with that then.
Yeah, it may have already been happening.
That's too soon.
That was probably already in the works. So, well, let's see. When did was it Andrew House?
Yeah, when did he leave? All right, anyway, we're quick.
I hate,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, let me read this. Well, you guys looked it up. Ace Ali, there's plenty that Jim Ryan could have done in theory. He was a good businessman for PlayStation, and the company will be better for his 30 years of work. We're soon going to see the fruits of what he's been doing for years to come, and especially in the coming months. And Blitz says
we already have though. It's 10 yeah. service games. Yeah. It's
Manny, we hear you chewing, like, by the way. You might want to mute yourself.
All things I can say, like, cool. He raised the price of video games, starting a wave across the industry that became the new standard. Cool. He instigated like a dozen development cycles on pay to win online games that nobody asked for or wants. He pulled the trigger on shit like Avengers. Like, dude, like, the dude was all about the dollar, right? And not even in a way that, like in a way that, like, is amicable to his audience, but in a way that is honestly fucking destructive to the brand.
Oh, by the way, short-sighted. Real quick, Brett, because this happened last time, and I forgot to kind of correct you on this. 2K was the first company that raised prices by $70. So maybe it would be more correct for you to say he standardized it. Because PlayStation really ran with it, because 2K, they raised the price of $70 on a basketball game, and then people got pissed off, and they backtracked on that. But Sony was like, no, we're going to do that and stick with it.
That's true.
So I think it's fair to say they standardized it, yeah.
They had backtracked on it. And maybe that's the reason I get so upset about it. It's like, they had backtracked. They had backed down and went, you're right. Our back, we don't need to do that. And then Sony comes in the yard, it's like, no, I got your back, son. And like,
that's the first platform to do it.
Then it kind of became a thing. So like, it angers me even more that like 2K had kind of backed down. And then Sony comes in, it's like, I got your back, in some like anime fucking shonen moment. And like, it then stuck because of course it did in those circumstances. So yeah, I still blame Sony, but like, It's. I don't blame Sony in the sense of like. Well, I mean, I do in the sense of like. You don't go fuck yourself. It's the principle of the matter. You're not delivering us more. You promised us more. You're giving us the exact same thing. You believe in generations, and by that you apparently mean you're charging me $10 more for the same goddamn shit. If you at least had the decency to give me something new for that extra $10, I'd be fucking appreciative. But you don't. You don't. You give me the same goddamn thing. Staring me in the eye and saying, you're going to fucking take it. And the principle of that part right there is what gets me all fucking ruffled up, man. Like the whole, like, yeah, we're fucking you. What are you going to do about it? At least have the premise to, like, I don't know if this analogy is too much, but like, if you're going to fuck me, at least take me to dinner first, right? Like, at least butter me up a little bit instead of being like, you're gonna take it, man, and you're just gonna take it. So like, give me something fucking more.
Yeah, Blitz, no whataboutisms, dude, please. He says Redfall was $70 after Sony already kind of standardized.
Yes, again, after it had become standardized, and yes, to a certain extent, I lay Microsoft charging $70 at Sony's fucking feet. Fight me.
Yeah. By the way, Brett, will you also blame? Because, we're going to talk about this later question, because the rumor is that GTA 6 is going to be over $100. Will you also blame that on Sony? That's what one of the questions is for you.
No, that's a whole different thing. They're not going with an industry now, and now industry standardized $70. Like, I may say that, like, it was the beginning of the end when we kind of unlocked ourselves from price points. But I think GTA is its own thing. If they had been like, we're charging $70. Yeah, I mean, sure, that's the new standard. But like, this whole, if they're charging over $100, that's got balls that make Jim Ryan blush right there.
Oh man.
By the way, I have Jim Ryan stepped in at April 2019.
Okay.
The Insomniac deal was August of 2019.
Ah, so it happened under his
tenure. So it happened, significantly several months after it started.
Yeah,
that's too close.
Yeah. Too close, man.
I'm not giving him the credit for that one. That shit takes way longer than that to get through.
Yeah.
Well, he crossed the finish line, so that's still important.
He's going to get credit for it regardless, you know. Didn't Redfall also have a 30? Why are we talking about Redfall?
Who the fuck? Why? Like, Redfall was awful. Redfall was awful. Microsoft has been dropping the ball. Multiple people can suck. Moving on.
Thing about it is, I don't even really blame Microsoft for that. I blame Bethesda or ZeniMax for themselves for not canceling that thing, because that game was in development long before that deal had ever happened. So.
Yeah, everybody's like, but Dishonored was so good.
Yep.
It really wasn't.
Yeah,
no.
All right, I'll read this one comment, even though it is what it is. ZZR says, did Brett not pay $80 for Star Fox 64 15 years ago?
No, I did not.
He rented it.
Yeah.
Remember rentals?
Yeah. No, I guess he's making a statement about how games cost $70 back in the 90s when they were, you know, 90s money. So they're, you know, cheaper. That's the thing. Anyway, I want to move on. Next question. That was only the first question, people.
Okay. Hold on.
Go ahead, Brett.
Wait. One more. Jim Ryan did also close Japan Studio.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, Brett.
So for the whole, like, games cost to say, like, are you talking about with inflation or without inflation? Like, let's first nail that part.
You can go digital now.
They're saying
they should be digital. Yeah. Like, the fact they have digital, their profit margins are through the roof. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how people can be like, they need to be the same amount. They need to charge $7. And then look at the fucking profit. They're the record fucking profits that they're making. They don't need to do shit. They didn't need to do shit. Look at the profits before they raised it up. They were already making record fucking profits. And then Jim Ryan said, hey, you know what would be really nice if we just squeezed more money out of our customer base and gave them nothing in return. And some of you motherfuckers with your sunk cost fallacy just come running to be like, well, with inflation and blah, 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 blah. Like, here's the deal. You're either getting mad at the principal or you're getting mad at the math. If you're getting mad at the fucking math, then do the whole goddamn math equation and look at the fact they've been making money hand over fist. They don't need your defense. They don't need you to come in and explain why it was fucking necessary, because it's not. They've changed the platform. They have digital-only sales. They've taken out third-party resellers and big-box retail. Right? The playing field is not the fucking same. They have a monopoly on your ass, and you guys are going out of your fucking way to defend them about why they should be taking $10 out of your goddamn pocket. And again, on the matter of it's a fucking principle of the thing, I'm not mad about the $10, but what really fucking irritates me is you guys are going to do all the fucking mental gymnastics just to justify paying more for the same goddamn product. The fuck is wrong with you people? Sorry, done. Going back to build my ship at Starfield. Jesus fucking Christ.
All right, man. Let's move on. Next question here. Kind of on the other end here. Jay Shep, Jim Ryan isn't the most likable CEO. However, it's hard to ignore the PS5 sales numbers and the hated PS Portal, which is currently selling out in most regions. Interesting anecdote there. Will Jim Ryan's financial moves help set up the next PlayStation CEO for success? Yeah, because remember, we talked about this. Like, we basically said that Jim Ryan was like riding the coattails of the previous guys. So you kind of have to say that's going to happen with the next guy, too. He's going to be riding the coattails off of Jim Ryan's success, too. You know, just
maybe, if live service games are going to kick off.
Yeah,
sure.
But
because he's not leaving anytime soon. Remember,
he's leaving in April.
Yeah, he's got that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Brett, Blitz says you're the guy who's playing mental gymnastics here, but. You know.
Okay.
Oh, you're gonna be heated over here. You know.
Don't understand how I play mental gymnastics. That it's black and white. Are they making money hand over fist? Did they need to? Did they like? Are you gonna tell me that they needed to raise the price to cover their losses, to cover their expenses? Because we can get into and do the math. I will do the math and round back with you next week.
That's all it is.
Yeah. By the way, and Brett on the other end, Mr. Daliello says he feels what you were ranting about.
I appreciate that. Like, I'm just saying, man. Like, it's the principle of the thing, right? We're not arguing about $10. We're arguing about whether or not people needed to charge more for the same product. That's what the basis of my argument is. And if you can go back and show me where they were losing their shirt or making less than record fucking profits until they did this, then cool. We can have that conversation, but they weren't. They were doing fucking amazing. And then when they had the option to launch PlayStation 5 exclusives, they didn't, and they charged you more money for it, right? And so not only do they have an environment where you're buying the same shit again, but sometimes you're paying digital upgrade to buy things like that didn't make me fucking happy either. But at the very least, you're paying $10 more for the same goddamn thing. So like if we want to have an argument, like let's keep it on that point. Like let's leave out the what about has been. You tell me why that shit needed to happen, other than some executive saw an opportunity to squeeze a captive audience.
Hey, he was like, hey, we got a huge install base. Let's just start charging them more.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, there's only one interpretation of that. I don't understand, like, what, like, where, and I guess maybe that's the thing I need to finally pin down. Like, what is your interpretation of that? What do you think is going on here when they raise the price when already making record profits?
Yeah. All right. We'll give him time to answer.
I feel like for this conversation, I think it's important as a consumer to just judge it, because games are not a monolith. There's different types of games that you'll buy, different types of experiences that you want to experience. And if you get a price tag and you get a game, it's not black and white. There's a correlation between the price and the type of game that you're looking at. If someone puts a $60 price tag on fucking Life, Brian of Isaac, or whatever the fuck that game is,
Binding of Isaac, yeah.
If you put a $50 price tag on Dinosaur High, I'm gonna say no. If you put a $20 price tag on Life of the Black Tiger, I'm gonna say I won't even pay a dollar for that shit. So when Sony raises the price, and yes, they're raising the price like anybody else raises the price because they want to make more money, because that's their whole thing. That's the whole shtick. That's the MO. And when they raise up the price as a consumer, you have to make the decision. So for this game, for $70, do I need to buy it? Do I want to buy it? And that's a singular
vote with your question. Wallet. That's the way they say about everything. Cars, clothes, money, vote with your wallet. This is the same thing with these subscription services all jacking up. People canceling them because they're like, man, this costs you more than cable. Vote with your wallet.
Yep. Might as well get cable.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, if $70 is a huge increase in price of games, these games always go down in price real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Think but about that's the other thing. Like just, you could theoretically resist the FOMO. You could really literally
about
just
that later.
Yeah, I got
you could literally FOMO. Just if you just to be honest, you almost if you wait almost a month or two, you're guaranteed to get your game for a little bit cheaper than it was before. Yeah. So
remember Guardians of the Galaxy with like a month in, it went down to 30.
Well, that game didn't do so well, so. Yeah, initially, so that's what happened.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It was a fantastic game. And so for $30, that's a deal.
That's why the GTA thing, I actually kind of respect in a way. It's not pro consumer in any way, but
Andy, we hear you.
It's not a pro consumer move by any stretch of the imagination, but it's them saying we put so much into our product and we cultivated such a fan base that we believe that you believe that it's worth more than $100. And if they make Ham and Fist selling a game $100, then more respect to you because you released a product that people deemed worthy of $100.
I think we will get, we're already seeing $100 games, but it's a bundle. It's a certain version. And I have a feeling that's what we're probably hearing about. It's not so much that the game itself will be it, but there will be a tier that is 100. Wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, well, we see that with release early games, and you're going to have an extra costume. It's going to be
We get them all. Sport games all do it. Basketball game does it. FIFA does it. Well, FC does it. They all do it. It's like $100 tier. Call of Duty does it. They all do it. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know why people are so surprised. Like $100.
Here's the thing though. Like the one thing about it, like I feel like when it comes to raising prices like that, you always have to, like, if you're going to do something like that, you should try to guarantee that there's something more than there was before. So like buying vanilla Spider-Man, right? Spider-Man 2, you're not getting anything extra for that game. But yet and all the, what was it? How much is the super edition of that one, and it comes with a bunch of those like four different outfits. Are you saying that price is worth those digital outfits? I don't know about that. But what if all of that stuff came with it? And then, you know, what if you had a situation where it was like, all right, the middle, the lower tier is if you don't get anything. It's a $60 game. The second tier is the one that comes with all the costumes and all that other shit, and that's 70.
I mean, what if we lived in a world where people wanted Adam's Warthog's skin for Forza?
Yeah, but yeah,
nobody on the, nobody who listens to the show cares about Xbox. Maybe one.
Hey, Logic wins, man. Shout out to him. But anyway, going back to the question, yeah, I think whoever replaces Jim Ryan will be coming into a lot of success, you know. They're gonna
if they're smart, they'll probably try to keep the same line of things going, but you know, and try not to, you know, screw the pooch. I mean, to be honest, a lot is hinging on PlayStation doing well, because obviously most of Sony's companies are not doing very well. They're not doing amazingly. Sony PlayStation is the breadwinner at their company.
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead, Carlos, if you're going to say something.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing.
Cool. All right, moving on. Ace Ali, what are some qualities you'd each like to see from the next president and CEO of PlayStation?
To be honest, I'd like to see them get back to go, you know, to more interaction with the people, you know, like doing like the, you know, like those 2 years that they did the PlayStation experience. That was cool.
Yeah, it was
like, you know, you can have a convention that you could go to and sort of meet the people, get some fun exclusive stuff, and, you know, like listen to all this sort of stuff. Like pretty much like, you know, if you wanted to go to E3 just but for PlayStation. I thought that was cool. I thought that a lot of the, you know, what was it, making the list thing was a kind of a cool little initiative that they did. And all the guys that seemed like they were working over there, they actually seemed like they were enthusiastic about their products. You know, you could even look up every single one of those people, right? And see what games they've actually played and see how many games that they've platinum. Yeah. Like, what was it? What the hell's his name? Shuhei Yoshida. You could search him out on PlayStation now. You could literally see all the trophies that he's gotten for all the games. Mark Cerny, who's like a fucking beast, man. Like that dude, what was it? He platinum Bloodborne and like Elden Ring and shit like that. So I'm like, where the fuck are you doing? How the fuck are you doing this? Maybe he's like, I'll just give it to my son. But I mean, it's still kind of cool. Yeah. Like you could go on to see Gio Corsi, what he was doing on there. Like, I think he still has the same PlayStation thing. He just didn't have a little check mark from that.
Yeah. I think that'll be good. Like someone, you know, someone like we used to have, like a Sean Layden and stuff, you know. We need somebody, Jack Trenton, guys like that, you know.
Yeah, those guys, like we met, like, me and Tony have been to a lot of E3s, but when you do meet any of these guys in halls, they were like, you get to talk to them a little bit, and they don't know who you are, but they still sit down and talk to you. But then like, hey, you know, be like, hey, man, what about this? But you know,
yeah, like here's one good example, right? Because I went to one, I went to two PlayStation experiences, right? And one of them, like, I go there. As a matter of fact, I went to the little gift shop to buy you something, Manny, and Gio Corsi was on the line, right? And I'm like, hey, why are you on the line? You don't need to actually be on the line. You're Gio Corsi. He's like, yeah, but I like hanging out with the people. That right there lets you know something. That's pretty special. Jim Ryan would be caught dead doing shit like that, you know?
And one time I went, like, it was like at the bar at the, I think the, well, which bar was it at? I can't remember. It was like, it was the main, you know, the one, I think that Hyatt that we stayed in the few 3 years of E3. And like, I think there was like, I was just there and I saw Gio there. I started talking with him. And then I just saw like off the cuff, what's his face? What the hell was his name? The guy before the last guy.
Andrew House?
I saw Andrew House.
Oh, there. Well, that was the JW Marriott. That was when me and you hung out with Gio and his boys.
Yeah.
We were just having drinks. And then, all, like a who's who of people just start showing up. Andrew House showed up. You know, Brzezinski showed up. It was crazy.
Yeah. It was fun hearing Andrew just, you know, like, obviously he's a little bit more familiar. Like, he's not like, he's pretty business, but not so business. Yeah. But it was nice to see sort of like, it was like 2018, right?
Yeah, 2018. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just sort of nice to see him sort of off the cuff because he, you know, was just like, yeah, whatever. I was like, And we
talked to him like he was just like a regular person. You know, he was very cool. And
I think this was about the time when he was retiring.
Yeah, it was about time. Yeah.
He's like, you know, he's like, the one thing about doing this sort of job is like, and I'm guessing that's part of the reason, maybe even why Jimbo decided to pull it off. It's like there's a lot that goes into it. It's like you're not only going over to, you're going to other countries, you're meeting everybody, and it can be taxing on you. So it's like, you know, I can get that.
Yeah. Cliff Brzezinski, he didn't pay us any fucking mind, though. You know,
he was like, he didn't give a shit. But I mean, whatever.
But I think we a more affable CEO. But at the same time, you also want a guy that's tough too.
Yeah, you know? You want a guy that doesn't seem like he's going to get the wool pulled over his eyes. You want, you know, like, in other words, open to the point, you know, open to an extent. You know,
Because you see the game Microsoft is pulling. It's like, okay, we need someone hard too. You know, so you got to have that. He's retired now. Somebody like Reggie Fils-Aimé, where that's a dude you kind of want to hang out with, but at the same time, he's a ball buster, you know?
Yeah. He definitely had a vision for the whole thing, but yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's something I'd like to see. And I mean, again, I would like to see Sony get back to that sort of, you know, idea of essentially. You know, they are they're constantly, like, this generation hasn't had its defining game, which is really weird.
Yeah.
Like, by year three, and we're going on year four, right? You know, like, by that time, we already had, like, you know, games from, at least when we're talking about PlayStation 3, even PlayStation 4, had stuff like that was like, okay, these are the games of that.
That's a good point. I think about that generation. PlayStation 5 has no defining game. Yet,
no,
you know,
so far everything is all just rollover from the last generation. Hey, look, it's Horizon Zero Dawn. Hey, it's Last of Us. Hey, it's, you know, granted, Ratchet and Clank is way older than all of them, but it's like, yeah, it's not, we haven't had that thing. Like, also, like, you know, what was it? You had a Soulsborne game, which was a game from two generations earlier that was just redone. So it's like, I would like to see a lot of that, but I almost feel like because a current PlayStation seems down the line of just constantly doing these sort of like not taking any chances and maybe doing a little bit of a smaller title to try to get more interesting things out there. Now they're just looking to just throw out these, like, you know, these nukes that, you know, I don't know.
Here's an interesting one. I'd like to see it. So Ace Ali asked, what about Final Fantasy 16? Instinctively, I wanted to say no because it's third party. But at the same time, Final Fantasy 7 was a defining PlayStation game, you know, for the first.
It was a defining PlayStation game, but it was a third party.
Yeah. But at the same time, Final Fantasy 16 I wouldn't qualify because it didn't change the landscape of anything. It didn't sell PlayStations. As a matter of fact, Square Enix was disappointed with the sales.
They were disappointed with the sales, and they canceled the
and it ain't no Final DLCs Fantasy 7. Yeah, exactly. So,
and to be honest, Final Fantasy 7 is like, again, that's like that's member berries the game, right? Yeah, it looks really nice. It pretty much looks like exactly what you
wanted. I'm talking about the original. Remember what the original did for PlayStation 1? That was a defining game for that platform. I don't think Final Fantasy 16 is a defining game for PS. I love Final Fantasy 16, but that is not a defining game for that platform, in my opinion.
No, I don't think it's a defining game for the platform.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Spider-Man 2, I can't talk about it, obviously, but that... Even that, right? Let's just say that is the defining game. What is that? A sequel, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, we haven't.
But at the same time, to be fair, people consider The Last of Us 2 a defining game for PS4. And they consider, you know what I'm saying? So it's a little nebulous there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like, is Last of Us 2 a defining game
for PlayStation 4? I personally don't think it is, but
it's a weird PlayStation fan, you know? It's like more of the same. Like, you know, like, obviously there's a lot of improvements and stuff like that, and they prove to you they can, you know, make, you know, very cinematic sort of feeling sort of games, but all in all, what, you know, like, I would say the original titles that really, you know, like, I would consider Horizon Zero Dawn a more of a defining title. I would consider Ghost of Tsushima a more of a defining title.
I would
title
say that, too, yeah.
Because those games are literally new IPs, and they actually did well, and they obviously, and, you know, we see with Horizon right now, they're making a sequel, right?
Yeah.
they made a sequel. So like, I feel like for this generation, we haven't had those things. But then again, those two games, you know, Ghost of Tsushima and Horizon Zero Dawn are end of the generation games. Same thing with Death Stranding, but I wouldn't consider Death Stranding a defining game either.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Jolly Yellow says, do you think Spider-Man 2 could be a definitive PS5 title? We'll have to see. We'll have to see.
I would say it's one thing, you know, and this might sound weird to people. I would think it would be sad if that was the only defining PlayStation 5 title. Because you're just telling to me, you just like more, you were, yeah, obviously it's more improved, it's improvements over the last one, but it's like, come on, guys, like, really, is that all you got? You literally, you're a sequel to a successful game. You don't really need to go that far off the board in order to get that to work. To be honest, I feel like the harder room was the first Spider-Man.
Yeah, Blitz says, so Returnal it is. See, that one is a PS5 exclusive, but I wouldn't consider that a defining game for the platform, because it's not like a game that anybody could enjoy. It's for a very niche audience, that game, you know?
Yeah, I would say that was a very niche game, but with a AAA skin.
Yes. So yeah, we'll have to see what the defining game is for. And but you're to right, be honest, at this point, like, we haven't had it yet.
The one thing about also defining games is also people try to clone them.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing Spider-Man getting a clone, like getting their gameplay ripped off by that one Asian game. What was that? Right. What the hell game is that?
I forgot, but I know what you're talking about.
He's Otaku, swinging man, around what's like going Spider-Man. On,
brother? I know what you're talking about. Yo, yo. All right. Oh, yeah. Anyway, anybody else? Other qualities you want to see in the next PlayStation CEO?
I want to see them be concerned about the future of the brand instead of just kind of what I feel is burning their good reputation. Like, at a certain point, you need to start building good reputation. So I just think more gamer focus. Like, it's cool to make more money, but I don't think there's a whole lot of Sony fans who are going to look at your last track record or their track record over the last 5-10 years and say, you know what? I am just happy with them as a brand. The way they've been going, I feel like they made some really good decisions. Like, you can still like their products and be like, I still enjoy them, but in that same breath, be like, yeah, but they haven't exactly been killing it lately. Let's be honest.
That's not what they're saying. That's not what PlayStation fans are saying at all.
No, no. I mean,
most PlayStation fans have been very happy this generation.
Yeah, the crazy thing. Here's the thing. The crazy thing is they're being rewarded for their mediocrity. They're not shaking the ground very much in this generation. But
that's because nobody's challenging them. Sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, people are challenging them. It's just not in the way that, you know, not in a different sort of ocean. I would say, right? You know, Xbox has got their ocean and Nintendo's got their ocean, right?
Ace Ali says, I like what PlayStation is doing, and I trust there's cool shit coming.
I would say they have stuff in the future, but I don't know if I would say it was cool shit. I mean, that's giving them something.
I've said this before, and you know, just being upfront, I understand that the opinion of us here on Throwdown is very different than the larger PlayStation community. The PlayStation community, by and large, this generation has been very happy with the output. We understand we're the outliers here. But we also have to be cognizant of the fact that our opinion isn't the prevalent opinion. Most places, the fans are fucking happy, you know?
Yeah, but the one thing about it is that I almost feel like it's like almost people don't remember what happened before.
Yeah.
Like how bad. Much some of the stuff that in the previous ones were doing pretty well. And yeah, to be honest, like, I feel like Throwdown was an outlier even on PlayStation 4 era. How many... Yeah. Like, that's like, how many episodes have we said that there was no games? How long were we saying that there were no games?
We were saying that for a long time, yeah. And the fans were like, what are you guys talking about? PlayStation
fans weren't happy, Tony, just FYI.
Oh, what, can you clarify that?
Sure. I said that even PlayStation fans who are happy with the product can't really look at the direction it's been going in the last 5-10 years and be like, yeah, man, they're totally killing it. Like, if you can, with a straight face, tell me that Sony is doing as well as the PS2, PS3 era in terms of, like, delivering on
I think you want to say PS2 and 4. PS3 kind of...
That's fair. Yeah. Two and four. How's that like? There's, like, Sony has had a much stronger record in the past. And, like, you can't look at me with a straight face and be like, no, I feel like they've been doing that well these last 5 years under Jim Ryan's leadership. Like, no, no, just straight up no.
It's an interesting thing because, like, there's a whole different aspect of stuff that you know, needs to be talked about on that end, where, like, game, you know, the amount that they could put into a game was a lot, you know, they didn't, you know, the budgets weren't, like, as big as they were, the game scopes weren't as big as they were, so they could get out a lot more things more often. I feel like a lot of this generation, and, you know, a lot of the last generation was essentially filling in the spaces between the big drops, right? You know, they're making all these sorts of acquisitions of, you know, smaller companies, or making these deals with smaller companies to essentially fill the gaps in between the games. You know, the bigger games, you know, the cornerstone PlayStation titles. And, you know, I feel like there's more gap filling that's happening right now. And you can even see it on those PlayStation experiences, not the PlayStation experience, you know, PlayStation Lives or whatever the hell you want to call those things. Like, you can see that they look like they almost, and even with the Xbox One, you can see that they don't have a whole lot of nothing, and they're just filling in spaces between the things that people really want to, you know, check out. But, you know, is what it is.
Yeah.
They're both doing, all of them, you know, Microsoft is doing it too. They're literally, you know, getting a bunch of, you know, independent developers and all kinds of other smaller developers to fill in the holes. But granted, like, they made the biggest thing that they did was essentially acquiring, like, two of, like, very huge studios to essentially fill in the gaps. So now all the gaps that they're going to be filling it with are going to be, like, legitimate, like, really big, things, which is going to be interesting.
Call of Duty.
Yeah. Call of Duty. You know, like, to be honest, like, if Phil wanted to, like, you know, Call of Duty aside, if Phil wanted to literally dig in Activision's, you know, like Activision's backlog, you know, log of characters and IPs, they could literally do that. Like, yo, Phil could be like, yo, hey, we don't have an Uncharted game. What are you talking about? We have the guy that literally created, what Uncharted was literally based off. Pitfall. Henry. We got that game. We just rename it. We can put him out, you know?
No, there is no fucking way Jim Ryan is 53 years old. He's 63. Like, I don't know. They'd be melting, you know? Also, Blitz says, you know, regarding the last couple of years, PlayStation being he says COVID.
I mean
2020, 2021 is understandable, but,
yeah,
you know, before that and after that, it's
well, to be fair, actually, to be fair, Carlos, 2020 and 2021, we're still kind of right. Remember how development goes? So we still be getting games.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So it would be now when, you know, 2022 is when it's like, oh shit, what the fuck? There's nothing, you know?
You got to realize, like, in general, most AAA games take about 5 years. Three to 5 years.
Insomniac's been.
Insomniac has been rocking like 3 years almost, and they've been releasing two titles close to each other, which is pretty nuts too.
Yeah,
you know, almost every year they've had a game. Well, no, let's see. You know, they had Spider-Man Miles Morales, which was the, you know, rollover. Then that same year, right? Well, when did Ratchet come? Following year,
2021. Yeah, 2021.
If I'm correct, so yes, they had Spider-Man 21, and then skip a year, which is you know, 22, and then 23, they got Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Whatever they got going on.
Yeah. All right.
Some sort of deal with a guy in a red suit.
10. Al Pacino, you know. Carlos, what's
up? I feel like, it's the whole thing with, it's even before this, you know, Tony mentioned that we're the outliers when it comes to Sony fans. I kind of feel like I'm partly to blame because I feel like, I remember when I joined Throwdown, I kind of consciously felt like I was the only one that was down on gaming. So it was kind of weird, like the way that everyone went to my side on, like, the whole thing, because I felt like I saw the warning on the tracks back in when I joined in like 2016.
Yeah, yo, you were saying that back then, and you were right, you know. But this generation, we were all on the same page. Like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah.
Tell your sister you were right.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Another one about Jimbo Ryan. Right. How long after Jim Ryan's departure will you assign credit or blame to what Sony delivers? For example, if a new CEO begins in June 2024, do you credit him or Jim Ryan for games released in 2025 and 2026?
18 months.
18 months?
18 months.
I think games, that's fair. I mean, games are tricky because, you know, games, like, remember, we talked about Redfall earlier. Like, do we attribute that to Microsoft? Only, like, partly because they were part of the bad advertisement. But as far as the development, it's mostly ZeniMax, Bethesda that's to blame.
To be honest, they should have known. They should have already been telling them, like, hey, listen, this one might be a hot mess. It's almost I think they perfectly did know that that game was a hot mess.
Mm-hmm. And for, you know, acquisitions or anything, any type of deals that take place within the start of the era, they should be giving credit to the person that's leading the charge.
I mean, it's like blaming James Gunn for the failure of a Blue Beetle. He had nothing to really do with that.
Yeah, that's true. That was already, you know. So, yeah, 18. I think 18 months is fair. All right.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff that even Jim Ryan essentially decided to nix as soon as he got into office, when he, you know, got into office from, what was it? Who was the guy before him? Wasn't Andrew House. It was the
Was it
guy.
Jack Trenton?
It was Jack Trenton, yeah.
It was a Japanese guy.
The Japanese guy is always the interim guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same guy that's going to be the interim president.
Like,
right,
I'm
now
doing it again.
He's like, it's funny. At the same, when he was transitioning between presidents, he said the same fucking thing about, like, online games and all that other stuff. He said the same thing. He also said the stuff about service games. It's weird. It's like deja vu. Like, same guy, same shit.
And they just copied the same email.
He's like, all right, I'm going to say this now. And they're like,
he's not even a real person.
I do not want that guy.
Yeah, it was Andrew House before him. And you're right. There you go.
Yeah, it was that interim guy.
John Codera? I don't know. He was an interim guy, whatever.
There was some other Japanese guy that was there too.
Yeah, but regardless, it was Andrew House. He was the big guy.
Kojima? You know?
Nakujima.
That's some Japanese guy, you know? All right, so I'm going to kind of combine the next two questions. Jay Shep and Dumeke, you know, who should replace Jim Ryan? So it should be who do you think should replace Jim Ryan? And who do you think would be fun to have replace Jim Ryan, but who is still also believable to replace him?
Shuhei Yoshida.
That'd be nice.
A guy who's been in the weeds since the beginning of PlayStation.
Does he want the job?
The question. I don't think he wants. Seat, I think he,
you know.
I feel like he doesn't want that job. I don't think he wants that kind of responsibility. I'm thinking that's also part of the reason why he took the position that he did currently with the independent games. Mm-hmm. Because I think he definitely has a genuine love for games and not all the other bureaucracy that has
to do. Yeah, he wants to do the fun part, meet with developers, talk about games. He doesn't want to do
Ideally, I would want somebody like that, like who was in the weeds, who had been there for years, who had shipped so many really good titles, who has a pretty good sense. Well, I mean, except for Demon's Souls, which you said wouldn't be a game that anybody would want to play, but, you know, everybody can be wrong.
But yeah, I like Shuhei Yoshida, but I don't think he wants that job, to be honest.
I would say in an ideal world, I would like him to do it, but I know he wouldn't.
Well, someone mentioned in the chat, what about Herman
Holtz? Herman Holtz, I think that would be a good one, you know?
I mean, Herman Holtz would be
believable.
But Herman Holtz, I would definitely see him as something, but also he's also a bit of a mystery right now. Like, we don't know what he's doing. Like, he's, you know, like, he has that position. Like, has the same position as a couple of guys at you know, Sony in the previous one, but you barely see the guy. It's almost like he's not even there. Like, you like, you know, like, you see, like right now when you see, like, you know, like, third party developers, and you always see, like, that photo of, like, you know, Jim Ryan hanging out, or one of the other CEOs or the other game guys hanging out with, you know, one of the, you know, third party guys. you don't see any of that stuff with Herman Holt.
No, he kind of just hangs out.
He kind of stays in the like. There was a, like, when Horizon Zero Dawn was coming out, there was one interview that you didn't see that dude talking.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would go with Herman Holt, but I would it'd be interesting to get a better sense of him.
Yeah, that's true. But I think Herman Holt would probably be natural in that position,
possibly.
Yeah,
if we're going, you know, taking the steps for sure. But, you know, there's also a wild card.
Oh, no.
What if they get our boy Phil Harrison?
No! He's like, I'm back, baby, and I'm going to do it even better this time.
Imagine that, man.
Ever since the success of the Google Stadia and the PlayStation 3 and Xbox One, I'm back at PlayStation again to show everyone the greatness of PlayStation.
Yeah. Logic Win says, Peter Moore, imagine he comes out with a PlayStation tattoo. You know?
Hello, this is exactly the same person. This is Peter Moore, and I am back. Even though I'm not really back.
Oh my God. Vince Zampella, that's an interesting one, GZDR. Is Vince Zampella still even in the industry?
This tweet.
Peter Molly, you know.
I want to
bring back the little boy.
Milo, he's grown up now. He's ready to take over PlayStation.
I've created a new IP with AI, and it's not called Milo. It's called Richard. And with Richard, he's going to be the most realistic boy you've ever seen in a digital world.
How about that?
Using advanced AI systems, it will analyze your voice. It'll make your trees grow. It'll make your dogs grow. It'll have everything you ever wanted in a game.
How about that? The new president will be an AI.
Oh, God.
Hello, I am the new CEO of PlayStation Computer Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm real. Next question.
Yes, I'm real. Shut up.
Fire everyone and replace them all with AI.
Logic One says, would you guys prefer a younger guy or an older guy? I was the one who's competent, man. I don't give a fuck about his age.
Yeah, age is not a thing, but I would.
Age ain't nothing but a number, baby. Unless it's for president. That's all. Anyway, you know. Go on. Let me not get political and throw down.
I mean, age, like, here's the thing. Like, yeah, I would want a competent person, but also I would say maybe a bit of a younger person might. Because, again, we've had so far, like, I think the last guy, like, you know, he only was there, was it for 5 or 6 years? How long was he?
House? Jim Ryan? Oh, Andrew House.
Jim Ryan's 5. House was, like, 6, right?
6, yeah, like 6 years.
So, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah. Blitz goes, Blitz says, what about women? Again, I don't care as long as they're competent.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they're competent. I mean, you know, we've been seeing sort of a conjiggering, like visual conjiggering happening. Like, I mean, you guys saw the last PlayStation Experience thing, right? Or whatever, PlayStation Live. Who is that lady that they had there? Like, I'd never seen that woman ever before.
Is she like an executive?
I can't remember what she was. I mean, she was a presenter.
I don't know.
Well, no, she was somebody at PlayStation. She had a title and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wondering, who is that lady?
Well, if there's anyone that's likely to have a success, succeeding.
Not Bonnie Ross. No, Logic Wins.
No, not Bonnie Ross.
No, fuck no.
Sarah Bond on Xbox.
Yeah, Sarah Bond
on Xbox. Yeah. Would seem like a contender for that.
And I don't know, Sarah Bond is kind of like person we want forward facing. Like, she's affable, you know, she's excited about the product, you know. That wouldn't be bad. I mean, it's not going to be her, but somebody like Sarah Bond would be good, you know, turn things around. Yeah, it'd be good. Jade Raymond, you know, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? You know, but again, good.
Like, I mean, I would say, like, Jade Raymond, like, the one interesting thing about Jade Raymond is she's done a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we've not seen. You know, obviously, she was the face for Assassin's Creed because she was, you know, head of the marketing for it. But, yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, granted, she, I don't know.
Yeah.
Stadia stuff. So.
Yeah, she does have a little bit of that Stadia stink.
Man. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Again, I don't care who it is. But a lot of you guys just make a good point when it comes to the age, because remember Jim Ryan said, I'm getting too old to be traveling around to jet lag. So yeah, probably yeah. Somebody younger would probably be better for sure. You know?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, well,
that's
like,
a good point.
How old was Andrew House when he left?
Probably not as old as Jim Ryan.
He didn't look nearly as old as Jim Ryan does.
Andrew House is younger than Jim Ryan right now.
Yeah.
So he didn't retire because of jet lag. It's just he was just ready to move on.
The Xbox guy with the sweater and the jacket on the couch is like, let me tell you about the. Remember what's his name?
Wait, who?
Remember he wore the hoodie and the blazer and he sat on a chair. It was on MTV. He said, let me tell you about that. And he was the face.
The first guy from Xbox, right? That guy?
I
forgot his name, but yeah, no, the guy who pretty much got like Xbox into that position. No,
Otaku man, you probably know that name. Who is that? Who are they talking about?
I'm blanking on his
name. Seamus Blackley, right?
Isn't it
Seamus Blackley?
No, I would remember. No, it's not Seamus.
You know who Seamus is, though, right?
Ain't that a wrestler?
He left and he started a bike company that does those rentals on the street.
Oh, that's not Seamus.
He did one of those. That's what he's doing now. He left the industry altogether, but he would throw these crazy raves and parties and shit. I remember Major Nelson would always hold me. I was like, yeah, that guy lives the real cool laid-back life that you see. That he's portraying, that's his life. Yeah. He's just partying and playing games. Damn, what was his name? But he was on MTV.
I don't remember.
He was always the face. And he came out with this hoodie and a blazer. I'm like, damn, man, what are you doing? And he's like,
yeah, was he bald?
No, yes. He had hair.
Okay.
He had been doing pretty stuff pretty recently, like interviews pretty recently about that his time on Xbox and all the different things that he had to do to get all a bunch of developers on there. I can't remember the guy's name, unfortunately.
It sucks. Yeah, I'm blanking on it.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Next question. All right. We're done with the Jim Ryan questions. Good stuff.
Yay.
This one is from Otaku Man question, but it's still PlayStation related. The biggest complaint I hear from a lot of people is that PlayStation's first party titles all follow the same template or that the games are cookie cutter, except for Spider-Man or maybe Ghost of Tsushima. They are saying that the gameplay has not evolved. What do you guys think? This is something we said. When it comes to PlayStation big AAA first party titles, yes, you do see a lot of like same-isms, you know, big third person action game or whatever. But again, they also made games like the Puppeteer. They made that. They made the fucking graffiti game. They had a bunch all that shit. You know, Gravity Concrete Rush. Genie, you know,
Gravity Rush.
So these are also PlayStation games that don't follow the quote unquote PlayStation formula. You know,
Black Tiger.
They didn't make that. So that's what I say. So every time people bring that up, it's like, oh, the Sony formula. I'm like, oh, so Puppeteer is the Sony formula. So Gravity Rush is the Sony formula.
Eco is the Sony formula.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Last Colossus. Guardian or Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
But to be honest, we're naming a bunch of Japan studio games.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The company, the part of the company they decided to go. Yeah.
I mentioned these games, but at the same time, I do understand where people are coming from. If you only focus on placing third party, first party AAA games, yes, you do see that quote unquote formula. But if you look at the entire portfolio, you see there's a lot of more diversity. You know,
I mean, like even Ratchet and Clank, it doesn't actually fit that in that either. It's a platformer shooter.
Yeah, exactly. And that is big AAA, you know. I've always kind of called BS on that, even though I do understand where people are coming from.
No, I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's definitely something because a lot of the more well-known titles sort of follow that. Those sort of formulas established by a PlayStation 3 generation game with it, which is Uncharted.
Uncharted, yeah, Uncharted really paved the way for that.
Where now essentially the PlayStation formula is essentially just making Uncharted likes.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. So I get it, but you also got to look at the broader context there. All right, another one. Oh, sponsored question.
Uh-oh.
Who is this guy? F it all. I think I like this guy. He has a lot of cool tattoos on him.
He's pretty fiery, yeah, that guy.
So he's sponsoring one of Villa Kyle's questions for no reason whatsoever. It's the Starfield question. Todd Howard says that, and Brett, for no reason, I want you to answer first. Todd Howard says that more than any of Bethesda's previous open world RPGs, Starfield was created to be played and evolved for years to come. After playing Starfield, do you see a future where Starfield is the quintessential evergreen title, eclipsing its predecessors in longevity and long-term value? So basically, do you think Starfield will be the next Skyrim?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the more that I play it, the more I'm like, fuck, there is so much to this goddamn, like, it is almost, it's almost problematic. Like, the weird thing about Starfield is that it, like, you thought the wagon ride from Skyrim was an obstacle to getting into the game. Like, holy fuck, I understand why people are 12 to 25 hours in before they're like, okay, the game just opened up. Because, dude, like, I haven't, like, I'm still kind of fiddling around, building my spaceship, I'm unlocking new powers, I'm kind of dealing with some faction stuff. I made it to Neon, and I'm like, cool, so this game's cyberpunk. But, like, I have not started to do, like, the outposts, and I could, like, hang out and scan a bunch of things. And, like, I could, there's so many derelict spaceships and abandoned facilities and bounties and cargo runs. I can be a space trucker where I literally pick up material from point A and fly it to point B, fending off pirate attacks sometimes. Sometimes it's just very kind of quiet space trucker stuff. Like, there's so much here. It almost feels like I'm not sure if anybody can relate to this, but when you start an MMO, it's almost like this wall of just, there's too much here. I do not know what is going on and what I am supposed to be doing right now. And I'm still there. Like, I've found entire settlements on planets that I'm like, oh, this planet's named. It looks like there's a city here. I don't have time to, like, go through and listen to local rumors, because I'll just walk by and start picking up quests. And it's like, no, shut up. Put another helium tank on the ship. I'm sick of stopping at fucking podunk middle of the space flyover star systems when I'm trying to get from point A to point B. So strap two more helium tanks on this bitch so I can get where I'm trying to go. I'll come back if I remember and I feel like it. But honestly, there's just it's like trying to eat a buffet, man. And I think that the completionists are going to have their heads spinning a little bit. I think that a lot of people are just going to kind of be like, well, I went up and I grabbed a plate and I guess I've experienced Starfield. And they're not wrong. They have. But there's just so much here. And it's so easy to just fuck around and just run off and just, like, it has everything that made Skyrim special, plus a whole bunch of other systems. Now, I think it's probably going to need, like, here comes the dig. I think they're going to edit it for a while. I think it's going to kind of be like Cyberpunk, where the best version of it is in 2 years, and so we can all kind of cynically take that to be what he actually means, because that's probably the case. Like, oh, it'll evolve for years. Like, oh, you mean it'll be functionally better? Like, I actually saw today a bunch of NPCs take off running from something, which means that it's in the game. It's not so much that you can't just draw your weapon, shoot in the air, and nobody cares. Like, that's not a feature. That's apparently a bug, because we've all seen those videos. So they will freak out and run. I just don't know what keys it off. And, you know, Cyberpunk did a lot of the same thing. Like, all the NPCs were super weird. So I think if it continues to evolve the way that I anticipate it to, and the way that their other titles have, and the way that people doing mods that basically force them to admit the shortcomings of their own game and then go back and fix it, like, all of these things together will make it an evolving thing. But moreover than anything else, there's so much. There's so much.
So you guys made an analogy last time where I think, Brett, you mentioned that Starfield is as wide as an ocean but as deep as a puddle. And I feel like for this game, it needs to be as deep as a medium-sized lake, I guess, to sort of fulfill that for me. Because I don't know, you know, after I've put in 50 plus hours into this game, and I feel like the only thing that would get me back into going back to play the game is completing some of the faction missions that I still haven't completed. Because I don't know, I feel like that some stuff needs to improve on. Traversal through within the planet would be nice if you can get like, and you know this is going to happen, a vehicle or something that could help you traverse faster through the planets than just running. It would make me want to visit more planets just naturally, and having those because there's some planets that have cool stuff. They have some settlements. There might be a person with a mission in the settlement, and that's pretty cool. But sometimes there's some planets that are just like, I've noticed I've been through like over 50 plus planets, and all of them have a like dungeon, or not dungeons, a cave, and all the caves are the exact same thing. So like, it'd be cool like to have some variety in some of that. And you know, just including more missions would be great. They need to support this thoroughly with DLCs for years if they want to do this. They can't just be like, oh, let the modders take over, and I don't think that'll work. It'll help it for, you know, a bit, but it's not going to make it the game that's going to have the legs of a WoW or a you know, a Final Fantasy XI type game, you know, where people are just playing it, you know, in perpetuity for a long time.
Yeah. By the way, Carlos, just real quick, the origin of the wide as an ocean, deep as a puddle was for Skyrim, ironically enough, you know. So I'm like, if Starfield meets that criteria, then it kind of is the next Skyrim. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Skyrim wasn't like Skyrim, as great of a game it is, and as much as it's sold, it doesn't. Skyrim does not reach the potential that Starfield can have as sort of a.
That's a good point.
Game.
Hold on. Let me make sure I'm understanding. You said this. Are you saying that Starfield has more potential than Skyrim?
As well, for sales, I don't know, because Skyrim is a tentpole sales game for Bethesda. But I'm saying just in terms of a game that can be more playable and more longevity in terms of playtime, in terms of experiences, in terms of traversal, in terms of people posting shit on YouTube, on Twitch and stuff like that. Yes, I do think.
That was bold words.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, Skyrim is a game that's confined within a map, and there are extensions and stuff like that. But you know, Starfield has a lot more than that. It has space traversal. It has multiple solar systems. It has more solar systems than people should honestly be like visiting. It's like there's a solar system called Nirvana. That I visited, and I'm like, what the hell is in Nirvana?
Does it play under deep bridge?
I wish it did. That would have been awesome.
Something's in the way.
Or the state of enlightenment. It could be that too, you know.
Well, you know, and it's they can add so much more to this game that could extend the longevity. And more than just like, oh, you know, the modders added this, the modders added that to Skyrim and extended sort of the lifespan of it. This could be more than just that. This could be like, you know, people are still playing Starfield for fucking 4 years from now because there's actually new things to do that's curated by the people who created the game.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. By the way, Adam, thank Richard for this one. Jay Allard.
Yeah, I'm still looking up Jay Allard. He was the man. Yeah. That dude, smooth as butter. Every interview, he just seemed very, I'm from Seattle. I don't give a shit. It's like, oh, do you play this game? Yeah, what about this one? Maybe. I don't know. Get a 360. I got to go. And it's like, boom, he didn't care. He was awesome. I miss him. And then when he left, that was a big deal. It's like, why are you leaving? I did everything I wanted to do here. I conquered. I got to go do other things. Peace. Very relaxed, nonchalant dude.
Cool. All right, more sponsor questions. Mr. Romudith sponsoring some J-Ship questions. J-Ship asked a lot of questions this week, man. All right. According to, and let me finish this question, guys, before you jump in, because this first sentence will have some of you guys going, Give me a second. Because, and I'm even speaking for myself. I'm like, hold on, whoa. But let me get to it.
You people.
Yeah. According to VG Charts, after 34 months, the Xbox Series XS is estimated 130,000 units behind the Xbox One. Can the Xbox Series console surpass the Xbox One in lifetime sales? The Xbox One is at 57.96 million lifetime sales versus Xbox Series X, which is 23.23. All right. Because I know Jay Shep, you know, he says he's only really been in tune with the gaming. He's been a gamer forever, obviously. But with, like, the internet gaming community, he's only really been around, like, not as long as us, right? So he doesn't know that VG Charts is a very questionable website when it comes to sales charts, right? So if we ever cite them, which I'll throw down, I borderline forbidden, you know, go ahead.
Old console.
What happened?
Only for old console.
Yeah. So take it with the heaviest grain of salt, whatever you read from that website, you know? But to answer the question, yes, I do think the Xbox Series X will outsell the Xbox One. I don't think that's even in question. Xbox One was plagued with fucking issues from the before even launch, you know? And I'm not saying that the Series XS.
It was ugly. Yeah. It was ugly.
No, but
it
even that, the messaging. Remember, TV, sports, nobody forgot that shit, you know?
Forcing you to get a Kinect.
Yeah, the Kinect, a lot of issues. Not saying the Series X didn't have issues too, but its main issue, even though it is a pretty egregious one, is having no games. But it didn't sour people like fucking the Xbox One did. So yeah, I think it'll outsell the Xbox One for sure. I don't know about how much. Don't ask me that. I have no idea. But it will outsell it. What up?
Which one did you say had the stigma of no games?
The X so far. Not Starfield, obviously dropped, but you know, for 3 years it's like Xbox no games, only had Halo, you know?
And by the way, remember, and people forget, and J-Ship, I don't know if you were around this time, like, yeah, in the know, but remember, PlayStation 3 for a long time had a huge reputation of no games. They even made songs about it.
Yeah, I remember that. And remember, you know, Gabe Newell, he was like, why did Sony release this shit? I would discontinue it. He said that, you know?
I believe in multiplayer and shit, remember? Online play, we did a focus group. Our audience doesn't want this. They made that whole song.
Yeah, and I remember that. So, yeah, again, I don't want to go too much. VG Charts, I don't trust them. But, yes, I do think the Series XS will outsell the One, you know?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Especially when it goes black. For some reason, people like to get a just black console.
Yeah, yeah, the S just
had the S
just had a black one. I got to be black.
Mm-hmm. Got to be black.
Another one here. French regulators raided NVIDIA's French offices this week, citing concerns for cloud services. Does anyone know if any of this is related to GeForce Now? I didn't see that in the reports, but Carlos, go ahead. I don't know if you read up on this.
No, I only know the surface level stuff. I was asking Adam if you got an email about this.
You know,
I didn't get that email.
But no, I read the report and I didn't see anything regarding GeForce Now. But GeForce Now is cloud, so. But I don't think GeForce Now itself is an issue. But we don't know all the specifics yet, so we have to wait on that.
I mean, and when it comes to NVIDIA is one of the major players in cloud services.
Yeah.
If you don't know, most companies, for example, Tesla and several, like I think Microsoft and Google, all these companies, they buy NVIDIA products for their data centers. So they're deep within cloud services, just not even just within NVIDIA. Like all their companies have their cloud services set up with NVIDIA graphics cards. So not sure what this in particular has to, you know, it could be GeForce. It could be something else. We're going to have to see. But yeah, it's crazy because when I got the news a couple of days ago, when in the Discord, we're all talking about it, I'm like, the first headline was just NVIDIA offices raided by authorities.
Yeah, French
authorities. Where you put your games? In the cloud. What? That's the server room? No.
No, in the cloud, man. It's up in the sky.
You're stealing games? No.
Imagine if somehow this ends up being like, oh, NVIDIA had their own crypto mining.
Shit.
Oh, God.
It's like they've been artificially reducing the inventory because they've been hogging up a lot of their GPUs to mine crypto.
Crypto.
That'd be funny.
Oh man. But yeah, we don't know enough about the case to, you know, start talking about it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't want to make any speculations right now. All right. Moving on here. Villa Kyle once again. And we've kind of been hinting at this throughout this episode, which is interesting. Cyberpunk 2077, The Witcher 3, No Man's Sky, and many more games launch broken and or feature incomplete only to later be found on a subscription service like PlayStation Plus or Game Pass or just patched later on. In more than one way, the day one player gets the worst experience at the highest price, and the year X player gets the best version at the lowest price. At what stage does this dichotomy become too much to offset the value of playing day one, especially when there are so many good games being released at such a rapid cadence? I wish Brian was here because he's the king of this shit. You know,
yeah, he's the king. He's the king of waiting, man.
Yeah,
but this is nothing new. It's always been like this. It's always been prices of gear and hardware go down. So then, of course, it'll come out cheaper. Games have time to settle, fix bugs and stuff. Come on, with game of the year editions.
But
yeah, this is nothing new. Early adopters.
By the way, real quick, Adam, you're 100% right. But he's just basically asking: is it just better for you to wait? You know. That's what he's asking.
Yeah, you don't have to get that FOMO. Yeah, unless you really want to play it. Yeah, wait.
It is totally better for you to wait because you not only get a game that's fixed compared to what it was originally launched at, and this goes for any title, even titles that aren't even like launch in a horrible state. But you literally get all the different stuff. You get all the DLC and all that other stuff. If you waited the 3 years for Cyberpunk, you're probably at the best point that you could possibly do. You got a bunch of really, you fixed up everything. They got all the crazy ray tracing shit working properly. So it's like, you might as well have waited the 3 years to buy it. So, I mean, that's the thing is, the question
is, there's a downside,
the downside is, can you resist it? Like, can you resist the FOMO of, like, in other words, especially if you're being on Twitter, and Tony's talked about this plenty of times, and the rest of the team talked about this plenty of times, where you literally see the ending of games they're, like, in the first week of it being launched.
And so not even Twitter, you literally have YouTube, you have the thumbnails, fucking spoiling shit.
Yeah, literally all these different things. Like, right now, Castlevania's on Netflix. You know, I'm not even fully through it, but you know what I've seen? Already shit that's already out there, like, you know, like really big spoilers for it. So it's like, if you can somehow manage to avert all the different things there, you'll probably be in the best state you could possibly be if you decide to get a game like maybe a few years down the line. You get it cheaper. It's got all the stuff that you want in it, and it's all fixed. People should ask that. Like, he mentioned The Witcher in there too, right?
Yeah, he did.
The Witcher also released in a. Released in an awkward state too.
Yeah. Here's the thing, and I'm saying this as the quintessential day one gamer, right? It is objectively smarter to wait till a game gets patched. It is objectively smarter. Wait for the game to get patched, wait for the game to price drop. FOMO is stupid. And I'm saying this as a guy with FOMO as fuck when it comes to games, right? It is stupid. It makes no financial sense. Like, you can wait. You can wait. These games, especially the way games are all broken nowadays and shit. You know, like, think about it, right? Like, if you bought Cyberpunk now, you're like, yo, I don't know what the hell we were talking about. This is fucking awesome, you know? But at the same time, if you're in a FOMO, just be aware of what you're going to be getting into. And I choose to deal with it because I want to be there day one, you know?
I do have some of a little bit of FOMO as well. But for me, what I go through is motivation differences when it comes to gaming. I don't know why. I guess it's just a me thing, but you guys know whenever a big game like Red Dead Redemption 2, I still haven't beat that game. You know why? Because I went on a fucking trip the day it came out, and when I came back, I just didn't have the same motivation as it when it came out.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're anticipating something, it's hard to wait. Like let's say, for example, Red Dead Redemption 3. No, that doesn't make sense. 3 doesn't make sense. Let me think of another game. Cyberpunk 2078. Tony.
Yeah.
When that game comes out, we fucking love Cyberpunk 2077 and Phantom Liberty, right?
Yep.
When the next game comes out, we're going to be hyped for it. It's like, because we fucking love the first game. Why the hell are we going to wait a year after it comes out? Like, that's it. And that's part of the dichotomy as well. It's like, you're anticipating something. It's out there. And you're just like, I need to fucking play it. And that, you know, might not be the most fiscally responsible or the most, you know, bug responsible, because at the end of the day, if you wait for a game, it's probably going to have more features and it's probably going to have less bugs.
Yeah. But, like, if you wait for the Game of the Year edition or whatever, you're going to get a better experience. But at the same time, like you said, Carlos, if you like that first game, you're probably going to want to get the second one as soon as it drops, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't care about it, if it's something that you're like, then don't get it. And then you'll be fine. But then avoid it. Don't avoid hearing about it, because that is very easy to do. If you know a lot of people talking about certain games, I'm like, fuck, I'm not following this.
Well, it depends. Like, you know, if you go to YouTube and these thumbnails are just in your face, you know, that's a little harder.
There's plenty of spoilers all over.
Like,
the
I remember
place.
With, like, with endings and stuff. Like, I remember with both God of Wars that came out on PS4 and PS5. Oh. I was like, yo, I'm glad I reviewed these fuck games, because literally day one spoilers. You know, I'm like, what the fuck? And it's not like I'm looking for them; they're just right there in your face. You know,
Tony, Last of Us 2.
Yeah, was everywhere. Yeah, everywhere. You know,
even before the game came out.
So yeah, man. We live in interesting times, man. But ironically enough, I'm waiting on Starfield and Baldur's Gate. But that's because I got other things going on. Like, even though obviously I'm reviewing Spider-Man and Mirage, right? If I was just, you know, regular gamer, I would day one both. You know?
Yeah, you would totally do that.
Day one, instantly, for both of them.
Oh, normal Tony would have just been day one on that.
Yep, day one. So I'm doing day zero now. You know?
Day
natives. Yeah, but plug. My review of Assassin's Creed Mirage will be up on Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. And I can't tell you anymore. But you go read my preview. I previewed the game. I can tell you that based on my preview. Very happy with the direction, because it's not 50 million hours long. You know, it's like old Assassin's Creeds. But I can't tell you shit about Spider-Man. You'll have to wait for that. October 16th, you know? All I can tell you about Spider-Man is it has Spider-Man in it and it's set in New York.
he can only do just like everybody else who got an early copy of Spider-Man. He can only show you that same shot of the main menu.
Yep, that's what Sony said. This is the only thing you're allowed to show, you know.
Unless it's some people that are gonna break them, but they don't give a shit.
Then Sony should cut them off. Fuck those people.
Tony, you'll be pissed off because one person I saw posted a slightly different image of the main menu, not the back of that character's head, but a little a scene maybe earlier or later, but after that sequence.
Yeah, as long as it's that with the press X to start, they're fine. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, because some people are giving me this shit. Oh, you broke embargo. I'm like, Sony literally said I could use this scene, bro. You know, and that's it.
Who say you broke embargo? You literally
assholes.
Literally saw 1,000 people, like, you know, Paris and, you know, Danny and a bunch of other people who have the game. They literally posted the same fucking image.
Yeah. No, they're assholes. People are assholes, you know. All right. And the final question of the night, people. GZDR. Forever. All right.
Better be a good one, GZDR.
Yeah. Do you think GTA 6's rumored $100 price will push people towards subscription services, or will we accept it as a new normal in pricing? Okay, first of all, rumored. I highly doubt this game will cost $100 at standard. No fucking way. No. $70 tops for the base game. But Adam, you and I talked about this. Yeah. That collector's edition, know that motherfucker's going to be like $160. Yeah. You know?
But I mean, the thing about
it's going to be everything.
But the thing about it is, like, the last time they did that crazy, like a crazy edition, they gave you a lot of shit.
They go in the
safety deposit box with the t-shirt and the key and all that stuff they gave you.
I call BS on that. The base game will not cost more than $100. That is fucking crazy. You know, $70 tops, you know. So yeah, so I don't believe any of that nonsense. Yeah, so easy enough question to answer there, people. You know, and we're done. We're done. Another good show. Another fiery episode. But we kept it more civil this time.
Not that fiery. Could have been fiery.
Yeah, Thursday show was more fiery. You know. But yeah, man. Do we have anything to plug around here before we leave?
Another episode of I Am Negan is out for Daryl Dixon, The Walking Dead. Daryl Dixon, episode 4. Right, so if you haven't watched it, if you have watched it, when you hear our views and thoughts on it, myself, Rich Bailey Jr., and Carlos Romero, check it out. iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, I Am Negan, Walking Dead for life.
For life.
That should always be, that's going to be like, it's like those novellas. It'll always be a version. But then again, this is more of like CSI. And all those Law and Orders, how there's like 15 million spin-offs. Some come, some go, some come back. It's going to be like that. We're just going to always have
Danuke. There you go. Logic wins.
Yeah, man.
He says Danuke for life.
They should have just kept a whole show just for life after a nuke and walkers and shit. That's it. That's all we need.
Yeah, man. People Mad Max and shit.
Yeah, that's it.
You know?
Everybody walking around in the desert.
Blitz goes, Blitz says, what if there is no special edition and the basis what the special edition would be? That's not happening.
That would be shocking.
That'd be pretty crazy. And you know, the game, the fans would probably be like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
You know, the online service is still going to have shark cards and all that shit. So it's not like, oh, if you pay this, you won't have to pay anything. That's bullshit. Bullshit.
I don't see that happening at all.
No.
All right, we're done here, Mitchell. Let me show you follow. Throw it down on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. And the conversations sometimes get a little heated, but it's good. You know, it happens. It happens. You know, passion, you know, run high sometimes, but it's all good in the hood. Throw down. We are on every podcast app on the planet. Throw down show. That's two words. Throw down show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on the YouTubes, enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live, and links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vail.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brett Murdoch.
It's real.
You already know, man.
Say a prayer for Messi.
All right, Thursday.
He's having some health.
Messi, the football guy?
Yeah, horrible health issues. Not good. So let's say a prayer for him. Yeah.
All right, people, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Peace.
Landers.